The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlacha, and Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Lamed Vav. Today's daf is being studied, Le'ilui Nishmat Morzik and Yosef Ben Slav, and Maratze Kenneth, Yafa Batzara. Abraham Ben Esther, Yitzhak Ben Frida. Ruach Hashem Tenihem Began Eden. Amen. Behatzlachat Yosef Ben Simcha, Shem Matir Asurim, ולרפואה שלמה, רחל בת חיה ורחל, שרה בת רחל ושרה רוחמה בת רחל, משה בן דינה, אל נא רפא להם, ראובן בן חווה, אל נא רפא להם רפואת הנפש, רפואת הגוף, רפואתם כרבה לבוא וכן ינסום ונאמר אמן. Begin today's daf on Lamed Vav, עמוד ראשון. We are right into two dots, one third of the way down, והעדים חותמים על הגט. So we learned in the Mishnah that Edim sign on a get. That was one of the Tikkun Olam that Rabban Gamliel instituted, that witnesses must sign on the get. So comes again what it says, that's the only reason why witnesses have to sign on a shtar. It's actually a law from the Torah. How do we know? The Pasuk writes, and we quote, this is a Pasuk in Yirmiyah. וחתוב בספר וחתום והעד עדים. This was talking about over here when the Jewish people, there was a prophecy that they were going to be exiled out of Eretz Israel. So the prophet wanted to give the people hope and proof that we're going to get the land back one day. So therefore he told them, go purchase the land from the Goyim and write shtarot and sign it with witnesses in order that when we get the land back, he'll show you a shtar. But you see what? A shtar means it has signatures. So what are you telling me that Rabban Gamliel instituted witnesses mipnei tikkun olam? Witnesses are integral to a shtar. So comes again what on says, Amar Rabba lo tzericha lerabbi el-azar de'amar ade mesira karte. The Hadush of the Mishnah is following the Shitav Rabbi el-azar. We learned earlier the famous machlok between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Meir, the Gabe Shtarot, specifically the Gabe Gittin, that Rabbi Elazar says, Ade Mesira Karte, which means, what makes the get a get? The two witnesses that see the shtar being given over, which is according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need to have signatures. So according to him, the rabbis made a takana, tikkun ha'olam, that even so, you should have hatimot. Takinu Rabbanan Adi Hatima. The rabbis established Adi Hatima. Why? Mepene Tikkun Olam. What's the Tikkun Olam? The Zimnin De Maiti Sahadeh. In the event that, let's say, the Adem Mesira die. So now, the lady is going to want to verify the get. If the husband comes to Me'ar'er, that comes to question the get and say it's Mizuyab, how are you going to validate it? There's no Adim around. The Adem Mesira died. So the Tikkun Olam, now you have Adim that signed on the shtar. So therefore, once you validate them, so therefore the shtar will be kasher. Iname zimnin da'azne l'medinat hayam. Or for that matter, let's say the edim, the adim is not going to be in medinat hayam, they're going to go overseas. The baal is going to come and claim that the get is mizuyaf, and the lady is not going to be able to bring the adim because they're far away, so she's able to be mekayemet with the edim that indeed signed on the get. Now, once already you have signatures that are kasher, you could assume that the get was given be kashrut, which is beti would not allow signatures to sign the get unless there was adeh mesira. Yeah, the badr bil azar really is adeh mesira to make the get. But the Adi Hatima, once you validate them, that'll indicate to us that there was Adi Misira that were Kashir, therefore the gate will be Kashir. Other Yishonim say no. According to Rabbi Elazar, he holds that Adi Misira also works, but Adi Hatima will work alone as well. So therefore, if Tikkun Olam, you have an insurance. If Adi Misira, not right, you can rely on the Adi Hatima. That's the machloket amongst the Rishonim. That's the Ri, actually. That according to Rabbi Elazar, kol atzorich ba'Adi Misira eno ela kashen Adi Hatima. But if you have Adi Hatima, you don't even need Adi Misira. So according to that Shita, you just have it as a backup, just in case the husband comes to be Me'ar. So again, when you go back to our Mishnah and you learn the Ban Gamliel made a Takana of Edim that signed a Shtar, Alibad Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara gives a second answer. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Tema Rabbi Meir. Even according to Rabbi Meir, now, yes, a question. What do you mean? Rabbi Meir holds Adi Hatima Karti. Min HaTorah you need Adim to sign a Shtar. What do you mean? Tikkun Olam. What's a Tikkun Olam? So comes the Gemara and says, Hitkinu Shiye Adim Mefarshin Shemotehem Begitin. The Takana was that they have to write their names. We're going to learn initially Mepne Tikkun Olam. Why? Kedetanya Berishona Hayakotev. Initially, when they used to sign the get, they used to write Pelo ani peloni hatamti ed. That's exactly what they would write. I, so and so, signed. They didn't write their names. Now she says, Mefarshe shemotehen Reuven or Shimon. They had to write their actual names. That's Tikkun Olam. Meikara lo ayu chotmim ela ani peloni hatamti ed. Velo aya nukev shemo. They would just say, I signed. And that would be considered a signature. Now, the problem was, there was very difficult to mekayem the shtarot. What happened? Im ktav yato yotze mimakom acher kasher ve'im lav pasul. If they were able to find another shtar that had the similar handwriting, ktav yato, then the shtar was kasher. But if not, not. Rashi says, kedetanya imaya ktav yato yotze mimakom acher kasher demetok shelo ya mefaresh shemo. The fact that originally they didn't explicitly write their names, it was very difficult to find witnesses that know the signatures because you're not writing their name. It's not a signature. So how did you mekayim the shtar in such a case? You had to find other shtarot shehatimatan dome lezu that had the same handwriting and the same type of signature like that. Benitkayimu bebetin ayedeha adaata hatumim atzman. And then the people that signed would have to testify themselves that indeed that this is the same writing. So it says, which means like this. The only way you were able to mekayem a shtar like this is, let's say you had another shtar that was in Betin, and the shtar was under contest, which means, let's say somebody came and contested the shtar, and then Betin came along and validated. So you would have to find a shtar that was contested and then became validated, and you would have to compare that to the shtar over here, because nobody else would be able to mekayem the signatures, because initially there were no signatures. So it was very difficult to make a kiyum on a get. Again, you had to find another shtar that said, Ani Peloni Katafti Ed. Go find another shtar like that, that was contested, Betin was mekayem it, now you come along and mekayem, very difficult. So Amar Rabban Gamliel Takana Gedula Etkinu. So what was the big takana that they were metaken shiyu mefarshin shemotehem begitin mepene tikkun haolam? Now what do you gain by this? Like Rashi, shemahar shiyitparishu shemotam yachzuru achar yodehem umakirim la'ayin laktav yada. Very simple. Now you can go to any two people that recognize the signatures. They say, oh yeah, we know this guy's signature. Uven, that's the way he signs his name. Shimon, that's the way he signs his name. Much easier. Instead of having to find another star that was Yotzei Ala Ve'ur, that became Mekuyam. So therefore, the Takana, to make starot easily Mekuyam, the Takana was even according to the Bimeir. Yeah, Adi Hatima Karti, but initially Adi Hatima is just Anik, Peloni, Ed. Now you have to actually write their names. So the Gemara says, Ubsimana La. What do you mean? You have to write your name? Why isn't a siman good enough? Which means, why don't you just make like a mark? Why? Behar Rav, when Rav used to sign a shtar, Tzir Kevara. He used to sign in the shape of a fish. V'Rav Hanina Tzir Haruta. She says, Anaf Shel Dekel. It's like a palm leaf. That was the shape that he would draw. Rav Hezda Samich. Now, Hezda, we just write the letter Samich for the name Hezda. Rav Hoshaya Ayin. And Rav Hoshaya would sign the shtar just with the letter Ayin. That was their signal. That was their siman. Rabba Baravuna Siyir Makuta. And Rabba Baravuna, he would make a picture of Makuta. What is Makuta? That she says, Vilon Sfina. How would you explain that? A curtain of a boat or a sail. Oh, that's good. The sail of a boat. So each rabbi had their siman. So the Gemara says, what are you telling me? You have to actually write the name. You have to write the name. Just each one draws their picture. They're known for that. So the Gemara says, Shani Rabbanan Dibikiin Simanayu. The rabbis are different because everybody knows their siman. It seems these simanim over here were famous. And therefore you have no problem of Kiyum. So the Gemara says, wait. Me'ikara Bemai. How did they become famous? Which means, initially, you got to become famous for this to be mutar. So where did they become famous? You can't tell me on shtarot, because you weren't allowed to write simanim until they became famous. Until it became obvious. So where was it known from? So the Gemara answers, afke'inu b'diske. And she says, b'may, me'ikara b'may afke'inu. Sorry, read it correctly. Me'ikara, originally, b'may afke'inu. B'ma hodi'ola b'riyot. How did the people know she'ele hotmehem b'shtarot lekan lememar me'ikara da'amar tetkinu? Right? That was the tekana later on. So comes the Gemara and says, b'diske shtaresh she'elot v'teshuvot u'shlomot. Regular shtarot that they would write, not the legal documents, letters, teshuvot, let's say they would write responsa or igrot shlomot. They were letters they would write, greetings and things like that. So their signatures became very common to the people. So if you saw, if you saw the Samich signature, you knew that was Rav Hasda. If you saw the Ayin, you knew that was Rav Oshaya. From the other letters that they used to write, comes the Gemara and continues. From a quote from the Mishnah. Hillel Itkin Prozbol. Now, we explain what was the Prozbol during the Shemitah year. At the end of the Shemitah, there's a law that says what? All loans are erased, are canceled. You're not allowed to go now after the Shemitah, right? The Malveh cannot go to the Loveh and say, pay me. So, what was happening over here, the Gemara is going to explain. The people stopped lending money. So he said, okay, so what? They stopped lending money. Tzisu Deoraita. The Torah tells us that you're not allowed to say, oh, the Shemitah is coming, therefore you're going to be stingy to the Loveh, and you're not going to lend money. But the people were being realistic. They said, we're not going to lend money, and then have it washed away. So what did Hillel do? Hillel established a Prozbol. We'll see exactly what this word means at the end of the Gemara. But basically what the Prozbol does is, it's a shtar that transfers the shtarot from personal to the Beit Din. Now Beit Din has a right to collect, which means that the Torah says Shemitah Meshametet Kesafim, that's only Lo Yigos Ish Et Re'ehu. That's talking about man to man, but not when it goes to the Beit Din. So comes the Gemara and says, Tena Natam. We learned over there in the Mishnah. Okay, what does it say? Yeah. Prozbol or Prosbol Eno Meshamet. Right? When a person has a Prosbol, so his loan is not Meshamet. It does not cancel out the debt. Ze echad min advarim shetkin Hillel HaZaken. This is one of Hillel HaZaken's takanot. Shera'a et ha'am shenimni'u milehalvot ze et ze. He saw the people stop lending money to each other. Ve'avru al mas shekatuv b'Torah. They transgressed what it says in the Torah. Hisham elecha. That's a lo ta'aseh. Pen yiyeh davar im lebabecha bil-ya'al. And I'm reading the end of the pasuk. Lemor. Kareba shenat ha-sheva shenat ha-beshemita ve-ra'a enecha ba-achicha ha-ebyon ve-lo titen lo ve-kara alecha el-Hashem ve-aya becha chet. Which means they're going to be stingy. They don't want their money to go to waste. So they're not going to lend money. So he saw that the people stopped to lend money. Amad ve-etkin prosbol. Ve-zehu gufo shel prosbol. And this is the basic text of the prosbol. Mosrani lachem. Ploni dayanim, shebimkom ploni, I am giving over to you. So and so judges that are in such and such a place, shekol chov sheyesh li etzel ploni, that all the debt that I have by so and so, sheigbenu kol zeman sheirse, that I have the right to collect it any time I want, even post Shemitah. Vadayanim chotmim lemata, like we learned earlier, the judges, they sign on the bottom of the shtar to validate, or ha'idim, or witnesses sign as well. So that is the situation of the Shemitah. So comes the Gemara and says, now what do you mean, Mosrani Lachem? I am giving over to you. Now she says, Itchtarotai. I'm giving over to you my shtarot, my documents. She'atem tiyu nugsim. You're going to be the collectors. Vani lo igos. I'm not going to collect. Ulkaman muki diyesh koach biyadam laftia mamono shel zeh, v'nitel lezeh mkom sheyesh siyag betakana. Basically, the way it's working is, it has an ability that the rabbis have a hefker betin, hefker law, that they're like an eminent domain, so to speak. They're able to take money from one guy and give it to another guy. So in the case of here where there's a advantage, the rabbis have a reason to do such a thing. For example, I saw the people stopping to lend money, so they're able to say, you know what? Even though from the law of the Torah, the loan is really canceled, and technically the loveh does not have to pay, but the rabbis have the ability to take the money of the loveh and obligate it to give it to the malveh. Now comes the Gemara and explains. Umi ika midi de midoraita meshameta shvi'it. V'etkin elel de lo meshameta. How does this work of it? You tell me midoraita is no loan. Midoraita, it's canceled. The rabbis have such a power. We just said, the rabbis have such a power to say in a case where the Torah says no loan, where they can come and reinstitute the guy now's hayav to pay money. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye b'shvi'it b'zman hazeh. We're talking about shvi'it in our time. What is shvi'it b'zman hazeh? This is the time of the Bayit Sheni, the second Beit HaMikdash. V'rabihi. And it's following the opinion of Rabbi Detanya, Rabbi Yomer, v'zeh devar shemita shamot. In the pasuk that talks about shemitah, it says the word shemitah back to back. Shemitah shamot. So the Gemara says, "Pishtish shemitot tekatum medaber." It's referring to two types of shemitah: ahad shemitat karka, the ahad shemitat kesafim. It's talking about shemitah of the ground, not working the ground, and shemitah of monetary, and it's juxtaposing them next to each other. Lezeh devar shemitah shamot. And what's the connection? Bizman she'atam mishamet karka, atam mishamet kesafim. When karka is applicable deoraita, that's when kesafim applies. Bizman she'iyata mishamet karka, but when from the Torah law there's no shemitah on the ares, iyata mishamet kesafim. And in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, shemitah became a drabanan on karka. So therefore, in a place where the shemitah itself, even by the ground, is a drabanan, so therefore, shemitat kesafim also is only rabbinical, so it's rabbinical. So the rabbis have the right to undo a rabbinical. Right? Him amru, v'em amru. They're the ones that made shemitat kesafim. They're the ones that are able to come along and say, now, we're not doing shemitat kesafim because we have a concern. Now look at that. She explains over here the history. B'shevi'it b'zman hazeh. V'hilel k'rabi svirale damar shevi'it l'shemitat malve b'zman hazeh d'rabbananu. Now, she says, even though Hillel lived in the times of the second Beit HaMikdash, why is it Rabbanan? Svira leil abayin de bebayit sheni, ho'il velo haya yovel noheg, which means something else happened in the second Beit HaMikdash. The Jubilee year, the law of Yovel already was not applicable. So therefore, lo nagu shemitin mideoraita. So there's like actually a three-step situation over here. Yovel and Shemitat Karka are linked to each other. When there's no Yovel, there's no Shemitat Karka. Or when there's no Shemitat Karka, there's no Shemitat Kesafim. So therefore, since in Bayit Sheni, Yovel was not applicable, so that undid what? The right of Shemitat Karka, and therefore, Shemitat Shamot, that undoes Shemitat Kesim, and therefore it's only Midrabbanan, Rabbis instituted Midrabbanan, like, just like Shemitat Karka, and Yem Amru, Yem Amru. So Rashi says, V'davinim Be'erchin, Manu Yovlot Nekadesh Shemitin Midrabbanan. Ka'amar. Which is that what it says in the Gemara, that they counted Yovel and all that stuff, in the second Beit HaMikdash, that was only Midrabbanan. U'matzati mitamidei Rabbeinu Yitzhak Halevi, shekatav Masechet Gittin Yerushalmi, Minayin she'ena shemitah noheget ela bezman sheyovel noheg. Now, how do you know that shemitah and yovel go hand in hand? Shneimar v'zeh devar shemitah shamot. Echad shemitat yovel v'echad shemitat shvi'it. So the Yerushalmi learns a little different than the Babli. There's really two shemitahs. The yovel year actually was also a shemitah year. Even though it was the year after shemitah, for example, the 49th year was shemitah. The 50th, the Jubilee, had a din of shemitah. You weren't allowed to plow the ground. So therefore, when it says, "V'deh devar shemitah shamot,"
that the two Shemitahs are linked to each other. When is there Shemitat Karka? When there's Shemitat Yovel. But when Shemitat Yovel doesn't apply, there's no Shemitat Karka. So in Yushamil, Zavabatat Korim, Ra'iti, the Shemit Noeg, Bezman, She'en Yovel Noeg, Ve'omer, Anishu Machlok. Okay, it's actually Machlok, but if our Gemara, now we understand the mechanics, how Hillel had the right to come along and be Oker. He wasn't being Oker Deoraita. He was just being Oker Adrabbanan, of Shemitat Kesafim, and they changed their mind. They said, you know what, it's coming a problem now because people are not lending money. So they said, you know what, Prozbol will be instituted. Barim Nashi, for one moment. Iyata Mishamet Kesafim, Ve'afal Pisha Shmatat Kesafim Chobata Gufi, Ve'natil Yaba Aris, Yalfinan Bekesha Delo Nahaga. Which means, according to the Sevara, you'd say, what's the connection between Shemitat Karka and Shemitat Kesafim? One is on the person, Shemitat Kesafim, and one is on the ground. The Chara, they're two different laws. But since the Torah says, V'zeh devara Shemitah Shamot, it links them together, that's the Hadush HaNekesh, that the Chobat HaGuf and the Chobat HaKarka work hand in hand. Also, V'tekinu Rabbanan. Also, then the question is, why did the rabbis then, if Shemitat Kesafim doesn't apply, why did the rabbis initially make Shemitat Kesafim? Right, why did they say that the banana applies? So he says, "V'tekinu the banana the shemit zecher leshiviyit zecher." Just so the people don't forget, there was a concept of shemitat kesafim. So the rabbis instituted that. However, Rashi says, "Shelot teshtakach torat shiviyit." So the law doesn't become forgotten. However, the ahilel shenimneu ha'am lehalvot zeze. But Hillel saw that the people stopped lending money to each other. So amad v'tekin peros bol. So comes the Gemara and says now the other way. Umiika midi de medeoraita lo meshameta shviit vitkinu rabbanan de teshamet. Now let's go the other way. You tell me medeoraita, the guy owes the money, right? Medeoraita shemita now is not meshamet, and therefore really the love. I'm sorry, medeoraita.
It's not meshamet.
Right, medeoraita. It's not meshamet. Now, the rabbis, before Hillel came along, right, before Hillel came along, the rabbis came along and said, Midrabara for Zecher, Zecher Shemitah, Shemitah's going to be Meshemet. Do the rabbis have a right to do that? When the Torah comes along and says, the money is owed, do they have a right to come along and say, you don't got to pay it? That the Gemara says, Amar Abayeh Shev Ve'al Ta'asehu. Yeah, because they're not telling the guy to do something actively. They're telling the loveh, sit tight, passively, don't pay. So you see over here, the rabbis have a power to be oker, davar min ha-Torah, b'shev ve'al ta'aseh. Understand that rule? Which is the rabbis have a power, shemitah really, midoraita b'zman hazeh, the law is what? You have to pay. So rabbis came along and said, zeched, you know what? Keep the shemitat kesafim in the world, you don't have to pay. What are you talking? You're oker davar min ha-Torah. You're right, but you're okay, b'shev al ta'aseh. They're not telling the guy, do something. You just tell him, sit back. B'shev al ta'aseh, they can't be okay. Look at Rashi. Shev ve'al ta'aseh. Ve'aloveh hazeh yoshev u'batil. Right, the loveh is just sitting back. Ve'eno seh ha'mitzvah lefro et chobo ve'lo akal lebiyadayim. He's not doing an action. V'chi ha'gav na'mutal la'akor davar min ha'Torah kegon shofar ve'lulab. Yeah. Classic case.
On Shabbat.
Right? So Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbat. What did the rabbi say? No lulav. But Torah says there is lulav. There is shofar. Right? Sukkot on Shabbat. Rosh Hashanah on Shabbat. Right? So what do you see? What? But they're telling you, don't do it. They're not telling you to be okir biyadayim. So yesh kowah b'hachamim la'akor davar min ha-Torah b'shev de'al ta'aseh. Now let's just review the history of what took place over there. It comes out according to this line of reasoning. The history went like this. From the Torah law, Shemitat Kesafim Bizman Azeh does not apply. Therefore, technically from Torah law, the Loveh owes the money. Rabbis came along and said, Mr. Loveh, you don't owe the money. Midrabanan, we want everybody to remember, Zecher LeShemitah, we don't want the thing to be forgotten. You don't owe the money. Hey, hold it, at this point, how can the rabbis make a takana against the Torah? No, B'Shev Al Ta'aseh. Then Hillel HaZakeh came along and said, it's a great thing to have a Zecher L'Shemitat Kesafim, the Loveh is not paying the money, but the problem is nobody's lending money anymore because of this. So he came along, and the third step of this history was, he made a prosbol to come along and say, that what? Really, the money can be paid back via the betin. So it starts off, deoraita, don't pay, derabbanan, deoraita, pay, nizmana zeh, pay, loveh, derabbanan, don't pay for the zecher, prosbol, pay. Comes the Gemara now and gives a different line of reasoning in this whole subject. The Gemara says in the answer, Rava Amar, now Rava is coming to answer the initial question, how did Hillel make a prosbul and go against the Torah law? So the first answer was, it's not a Torah law. Rava's answer is, Hifker betin haya hifker. Which means, even if you want to say, Shemitah bezmanazeh is the oraita. When it comes to monetary items, the rabbis have the ability, like we learned, to make money hefker, and therefore they're able to take the money. In this case, they said, you know what? We want the money of the loveh to become the property of the malveh. They can seize the money, so to speak. And therefore, based on that, the power that they have. Now, who says the rabbis have this power? We never saw yet a source. We've always been saying, rabbis have a power. Hefker betin hefker. So the Gemara finally asks over here, in the next line, Amar de Amar b'Yitzhak. Where do you see that koach? Shene Amar v'chol asher lo yavo l'shloshet hayamim ka'asat asarim v'azekenim yaharam kol rechusho v'hu yibdal mekahal hagola. This was in the Sefer Ezra. Pasuk over there was saying that Zah Sofer made a big meeting with all the Jewish people because at that time there was a lot of intermarriage taking place. So Zah Sofer called all the people for emergency meeting. He said, anybody that doesn't show up to the meeting, his property is going to be confiscated. Who has the ability to confiscate property? You see what? The Hachamim obviously had a right to confiscate property based on the Ifker Betin Ifker. Be the Ezer Amar Mehacha. Bezer learns from another Pasuk, actually in the book of Yoshua. Ele hanehalot asher nihalu Elazar HaKohen v'Yoshua ben Nun v'rashe ha'avot lematot b'nei Yisrael. These are the nehalot, the inheritance, the properties that were divided by Elazar HaKohen and Yoshua ben Nun with the rashe ha'avot, the literally heads of families, and matot, and the leaders. Now the Gemara says over here, on this over here, Ma inyan rashim etzel avot. Usually, we refer to the leaders as rashe hamatot. We don't usually refer to the fathers as rashe haavot. Why would it refer to the fathers over here as rashe haavot when normally the leaders are referred to as rashe? So the Gemara says, Lomar lecha, ma avot manchilin et benehen kol ma shirtzu, af rashim manchilin ha'am kol ma shirtzu. Just like a father. Can he give his children whatever he wants? It's his property. He can give whatever he wants when he's alive. Oh, so too, the leaders could do the same item. How? Hefker betin hefker. Hence, rashe ha'avot. That the rashim are like the avot. Now let's read Rashi. Rava Amar. Look at Rashi. Dibur Matil Rava Amar. Le'olam ben rabbanan de peligi ad rabbi ve'amri shivit la'shmatat malveh bezman hazeh doraita. Even if you want to say that shemitah bezman hazeh is doraita, ותקין הלל דלא תשמט בין רבי דאמר לאו דאורייתא ואמור רבנן תשמט לא תקשיב whether it's דאורייתא או רבנן דבדבר שבממון אין כאן עקירת דבר מן התורה במקום סייג וגדד הפקר בדין ממון הפקר היה הפקר. Which means when the rabbis see fit, for example in this case over here, הלל said if we don't make this הפקר בדין people are going to lend money. I mean you just can't just say הפקר בדין הפקר whenever you want. You have to have a reason, like we saw in the case of Ezra Sofer. Whoever doesn't come to the Musar meeting, you know, that we're going to give over here, his property is going to be confiscated. Oh, he had a reason. So the same thing over there in the times of Hillel Hazaken. Comes the Gemara now and asks a question. Ibaya lehu. Ki itkin Hillel prosbol. When Hillel made this prosbol, ledarehu detakin o dilma ledare alma nametakin. Did he make it for his generation only? Because he saw in his generation the people were not lending money. Or was this a takana for the ages? Was it for the future generations as well? So comes the Gemara and says, Lamai nafkamina. Well, what's the nafkamina? So comes the Gemara and says,
lebetule.
If you can nullify it.
I amar ledarehu detakin mebatlinane.
Which means if you say it was only for his generation, so if the rabbis want to nullify it, they're able to nullify it, because really Hillel only instituted it for his generation.
But if he made the takana for all the future generations,
understand, which means if he made a takana for us, for the future generations, you can't mevatel it. Because to mevatel a previous betin, it's got to be bigger in wisdom and in number. And therefore, since you don't have a betin with the magnitude of Hillel as against court, so therefore you'll not be able to mevatel. So that's really the question. What was the extent of the gezerah? Was it a limited gezerah for his time? And therefore, even though you can keep it in our time if you want, but you can also mevatel it if you want. Because Hillel, we didn't make it for us. So we have an option to say when I want to follow it. But if you say Hillel made it for our generation, then you're stuck. You can't, unless you get a betin, that's a bigger b'chokma, u'b'minyan.
So comes the Gemara and says,
right, which means according to the first reason, if let's say a future generation, there you see the lenders are lending money. They're not worried. Even in Shemitah, so you're able to say, okay, Hillel did it for his generation, we can mevatel it. But if you say no, then you gotta keep the gezerah.
So comes again and says, "My, what's the answer?" Tashema, Ta'amar Shemuel, lo katvinan perospol. You did not write a perospol. Ela I bebe dina desura, I bebe dina denehardea.
You can only write a perospol in one of these two beddins. The beddin of Sura was the beddin of Rav. The beddin of Nehardea was actually the beddin of Shemuel.
Okay, which means that's the only ones you're able to write these places over here. So comes the Gemara and says, "The Isa Kadadak Lidare Alma Nametakin."
But if you're telling me that what, that it was for all the future generations,
Bishar Bedina Nami Lichtevu.
What's the difference? Write it in any court that you want. From the fact that he came along and said you can only write it in these courts over here, is Mashma that what? That it's only for that generation.
Now, how does that really prove that? So the Mefashim explain it as follows. The Mefashim say like this. The Betin of Shemuel, these were Betin Hashuvim.
So what? They had the power to be Mafkia using the Efker, Betin Efker. Must be what? Hillel really only made it for his generation. Understand, Hillel only made it for his generation. And the reason why the rabbi said, today you want to write a prose bowl, you got to go to the biggest bit in the time. Why? Because really the prose bowl doesn't have an effect today. Hillel made it for his generation. If you go to the big rabbis, they have the power today to say, Efker Betin, Efker. Because if you're saying it applied to all the generations, what do I care which Betin you go to? Just go to three rabbis and let them write the prose bowl. And they're not making the Efker Betin, Efker. Already Hillel did it from previous generations. So the fact that they mandated the most significant Hashtuv Betin must be it only was for his generation.
Comes the Gemara and says, Dilma ki takin ledare alma.
Yeah, maybe really Hillel made the takana prose bowl for the future generations.
Kegon ben dina dide.
But when he made the takana, he said that you have to do it in front of a betin like him.
Uch rav ame v'rav aseh.
Or like the betin of rav ame v'rav aseh, which also great betedinim.
De alima lafkei mamona, aval lekul alma lo.
Yeah, which means could be really it was for the future generations. But what? Hillel made it that every generation, you got to go to the biggest dayanim of the generation, and in front of them you'll be able to be mafkiya.
So if we have no ra'aya, comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, Damar Shemuel, Ha pruzbula ulbena de dayanehu.
He comes along and says, you know this thing of a pruzbul? It's an ulbena, it's a chutzpah of the judges.
Why is it a chutzpah? Al-Bena is a chutzpah.
Because Rashi says they're taking money unlawfully. Really, the loveh doesn't have to pay. And what? The Betin comes along and writes a document over there? Chutzpah! They're taking money out of the loveh. you know, unlawfully, he said, if I had the strength, I would nullify this whole business of the pros board.
So comes the Gemara says, abatelineh?
What do you mean you would mevatel it?
Ve'ha'in betin yachol lebatel devrem betin averoh.
Well, you told me you mevatel it. You can't mevatel it. You're not as great as the betin of Elel.
Ela imken. Gadol emiru b'chum ha'minyan. That's the question. Haki kamar. Yasher ha'il yoter me'elel abatelineh.
If I had a betin bigger than Elel, I'd be the first one to do away with this over here.
So you see, Shemuel was against this item over here. So what do you see over here? That she says... you see over here,
in the original question, it sounds like what she was. I'd be mevatelet. Sounds like that he only did it for his generation, because otherwise he's saying I'm gonna mevatelet. Ella must be Hillel only did it for his generation. That's what Shmuel's saying. If I had the strength, I would be mevatelet. The Gemara says no. Really, what he meant to say is if I had a betting greater than Hillel, that means really Hillel made it for. All the generations. And all Shmuel was saying was, if I had a bigger betin, I would have, but I don't have it. Therefore, we have to live with the prosbon. And Rav Nachman said the exact opposite. He said, Akaimina. Says, if I had the ability, I would uphold it. So the Gemara says, Akaimina, hamikayim v'kae. Who needs him to uphold it? It's upheld. Which means, the law is the law. We don't need him to uphold it. So the Gemara says, Haki kamar. He said, I would even go a step further. I would have went a step further and said, it's an automatic. Even if a guy doesn't write a prosbol, it's as if it's written, Betin's going to enforce it, and the loan's got to be paid. I would have taken it even further than Hillel took it. Now, from Rashi,
that she says, Oshiv Betin, I would have established Betin to say what? Vetaken de Stam Malvin, Stam a guy that lends money, you kimisurin shtrotin the Betin, vafagav de lo katav, neveke moshe katav.
Now from Rashi it's mashma, he would have done it, but he didn't do it. However, the Rosh holds that what? That's the law, that he actually instituted it. And therefore, Rav Nachman said that what? He even took it a step further than Hillel, that it is an automatic, that you don't even have to write the prosbol.
The question would be, what would be the halakha? It's worthy to check that halakha. What if a guy forgets to write a prosbol? Do you follow the way the Rosh understands that Rav Nachman said he was mitaken, that is an automatic, or not?
Shmuel's language was, to me, prosbol is an ulbina. That was his language, ulbina. So we explained it right away. It's chutzpah. He doesn't like it. But the Torah says you don't got to pay money. Now a rabbi's come along and saying he has to pay money.
So comes the Gemara and says, Iba'yadu. Hay ulbina. What does the word ulbina mean? Lishnad de chutzpahu? Like arrogance? Or lishnad de nihutahu? Or is it a language of to make things easy?
Which is maybe what Shmuel was saying, that basically in order prosbol is, it's to make Betin's life easy. Why? Because they know if they don't write a prosbol, at the end of the year of the Shemitah, everybody's going to be swarming the Betin with shtarot, saying, hey, listen, yeah, I want my money, go help me collect my money, help me collect my money. So the rabbis came along and said, you know what, so they don't overload and burden the Betin, don't worry, you have time, your loan is still a loan, otherwise Betin's going to be taxed.
So that she says, לשנת נעותה, לא עשו אלא לנחת הדיירים, שלא יטריח להגבות מלוותיהם לפני שבית, שלא תבוא שבית תשמתו אל כך, אי אשר חייב את המשיסן.
If it was up to me, I would mevatel it over there, because the only reason why they did it was to make their lives easier. Either way, either it's a chutzpah what they did, or it's just to leave it. Because again, why would people bother them? At the end of Shemitah now, all the people that are owed money are going to run to Betin with their shtar. Hey, help me collect my money. Now Betin's got to get the guy to Betin, there's a start against you, pay the money, so Betin's going to be overwhelmed. So they did it to make their lives easier. Shmuel says, that's the reason why they did it? Not interested in such a thing. I would have nullified it.
So the Gemara says, Tashema, Te'amar Ula, Aluva, Kala, Shesinta, Bekerif, Chupata.
Arrogant or chutzpah or contemptuous
is a Kala, a bride that commits snoot before the Chupah. That she says, Be'od Shechin She.
This is referring to when the Jewish people committed the sin of the Egel. We were considered a bride. We were just married. To we just got the Torah. So that she says, Be'od Shekhinah v'Yisrael b'Sinai. Right? The Shekhinah was still at Sinai. Asut Egel. That's like a kala. She just got engaged and she committed the znut. She nas'u m'Sinai ad la'arakamat ha-Mishkan. B'Shanah Shekhinah didn't leave Sinai till the second year. And what? They committed the Egel. So you see the word aluba is what? Chutzpah. That just like it's a chutzpah for a kala to commit znut, you know, when she's still a kala. So that was what the Jewish people did. What a contemptuous thing to do. You're still married, so to speak. You got the Torah HaSinai, and at the wedding, under the chuppah, you committed the znut, you went to worship the Egel. So we've proven the word aluba means chutzpah. Amar Rav Mori Berede Bat Shmuel, Me'eke Ra'ah. How do we know this concept that the Jewish people committed the sin at the Egel is considered like a kala sinning under the chuppah? It says, Ad Shamelech Bimsibo. When the king was at the party, who's the king? Kadosh Baruch Hu. Was at the Mesiba, the wedding of Bnei Yisrael to God. Nirdi Natan Recho. My fragrance left. Which means the fragrance of Klai Yisrael, Natan Recho, the fragrance left. Which means they worship the Egel. Bimsiba at the party. Rava Amar Rava Adayin Havivuta Gaban. But even after the sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. Dichtiv Natan Velo Ketiv Hisriach. The Torah writes it in a nice language in Shir HaShirim. Nirdi Natan Recho. My Nirdi is the Nird. Nird is a Besamim. Natan gave its fragrance, meaning gave it away. But it didn't say that the fragrance became putrid. So therefore, you see the Torah writes it in a nice language over there. So you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu still loves us. Even so, that she says, Afapish Yizkir Kalkolohen, even though it discusses our negative, Lo Yizkir Ela B'Merit Chibah. He said it in a nice way. Comes the Gemara, proves again that the word Aluba is Chutzpah from another famous line. Tanu Rabbanana, Braita. Hane'ilabin Ve'enam Olbin. Those are the people that receive insults, but they do not insult others. Shum'im Herpatan, they hear the humiliation. Ve'enam Mishivin, but they do not respond. Osim me'ahaba, they serve God me'ahaba of love. V'smehim biyisurin, and they accept and they're happy with the yisurin. Aleim ha'katuv omer, on people like this, the pasuk says, ve'ohavav keset ha'shemesh begurato. Those that love God will shine like the sun in its strength. So you see what? Somebody that is an olev is somebody that embarrasses somebody. That's a chutzpah. The Rambam is posik this talakha that a person has to be from the ne'alavim. But what is this midah keneged midah? It's if a person receives his insult and doesn't say anything, he's going to be like the sun. Because if you remember the beginning of history, what happened? God created the sun and the moon. They were the same size. And the moon came to Kadosh Baruch Hu and complained. The moon said, you can't have two luminaries or two kings in the sky. You got to have, one... only one. So God says, very good, good idea. You're going to be the low one. Which means the sun now got humiliated by the moon. Right? The sun now was being humiliated. And what happened? The moon got smaller and the sun remained. So it says, those people that accept humiliation, they're going to be like the sun in its greatness. Now comes the Gemara and concludes and says, my prosbol. Now that we got the mechanics, how it works, what is the word? But what is this word? Pros bol. Where does it come from? Amar Rav Chisda, pros bole uboti. Pros is a takana, bole and boti. Bole is rich people, and boti is poor people. It's a takana for the rich people so they can get their money, and it's a takana for the poor people that people will still loan them. So pros bole uboti. A takana for the rich and a takana for the poor. Comes again and says, "Bole elu ashirim." How do we know? Dichtiv v'shibarti et geon uzechem. How does that prove it? V'shibarti et geon uzechem. How do we know that? That's we got to continue. V'tani Rav Yosef. It says God says in the Kedalot, "I will break your arrogance." What is that arrogance? Vetani Rav Yosef explained the pasuk, Elu bulaot shebiyuda. These are referring to the rich ones in Yehuda. So you see, bulaot is rich people. Bute elu aniim. How do you know? Dichtiv ha'abet ta'abitenu. Which means the Torah says that when you have a poor man, ha'avet ta'abitenu, which means lend them money. Now, who do you lend money to? To the aniim. And it says ha'avet ta'abitenu. So that's melashon bute. So therefore, they are referring to the aniim. Oh, amar le rava le la'oza. Now, somebody that doesn't speak lashon ivri, he's called the la'ozi. He's a foreigner. So he came along and said, he saw them using the word prosbol. So he asked them, my prosbol? What do you use this word? You don't even speak the language. What does prosbol mean? Amar le, so they told him, pursa de milta, which literally means it is a takana. Now she says, Lilu Azaf, third line, She'enu medaber b'shon ivri, hu le'oza ve'oto she'sha'al rava emenu zot, haya medaber b'shon prosbol, u'piresh lo she'bilshono peroz pursa takana. How does he explain the word pursa takana? Meaning it's some sort of decree, takanat adabar. An adjustment of the matter. So again, let's get that last story clearly. Rava told the La'oza, my prosbol, what does it mean? Because he didn't know what buti and buli was. So he told him, it is the adjustment of the matter. Which matter? The matter between the malve and the nove. So you have two explanations. Either it is pirosad de milta, the adjustment of the matter, or it is bule and bute, rich and poor, and pros is a takana. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.